Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to St. Matthew in the 4th chapter as we hear of the temptation of Jesus following his baptism as his ministry in public is beginning. Beginning with verse 1 of chapter 4, we hear, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And afterward, he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.' But he answered, 'It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.' Jesus said to him, 'Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test.' Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, 'All of these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.' Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him.' Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited upon him." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As we enter into this Lenten season, we do so knowing that we're going to have a little bit of conflict. And this is often conflict that is within ourselves or between us and God, because that is a little bit of the work of preparation in this season. Sometimes we're going to have these fights and arguments within ourselves because we have taken on disciplines, ways of reshaping and reforming our habits, and we're not enjoying them entirely. So we struggle with the self-discipline that we may have taken on in this Lenten season. Sometimes this is a fight between us and God as we hear God calling us, as we sort of scrub away some of those things that keep us from hearing God so well. As we clean our ears out, we begin to hear God calling us in ways that maybe we're not very excited about. And so we want to have this argument, this little bit of a fight with God. And sometimes the fights and the arguments that we have in this Lenten season are just those that we get to overhear. In Scripture today, we have two of those instances where there are some arguments, some disagreements going on. Have you ever seen the Snickers commercials that have been on in the last few years? The ones where there's somebody who's in some sort of costume or dressed up in some way that makes them a little bit of a bear or a monster or difficult to deal with. And they're acting such that their behavior is also difficult to deal with. And someone else realizes that this is the case and that the solution is to, of course, hand the person a candy bar because they're hungry. And as soon as they take the first bite of the candy bar, it's a totally different person, who's much more mild-mannered, who's much more calm, who looks like they fit into the scene that they're in. And the line goes something along the lines of, you're not yourself when you're hungry. We see Adam and Eve acting in ways that are not of themselves. And it's perhaps because they're hungry. And in Jesus' case, the tempter is trying to get Jesus to act in this way that is not himself, in part because, well, Jesus has been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and, well, maybe he's hungry. We see Jesus go from full to famished, as the scripture lesson said, in just two short verses. Jesus is full at the end of chapter 3 as the waters recede from his baptism, as the sky begins to open up, as God the Father calls down to Jesus, "You are my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." What a full and loving moment. What a fulfilling, rich scene. And Jesus goes from that to two verses later, having been driven out into the wilderness, fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and now being tempted. He is famished, we are told. So let's take a look at how Jesus responds to this temptation, this series of tempting, glittering moments that he is given. Even when he is in a very lean season himself. Jesus is hungry in body, maybe hungry for community, for people around him. He's been out in the wilderness alone for these 40 days and nights. And maybe he needs to know that someone cares. So the tempter begins picking fights just to see if he can get Jesus to break down. I know for me, when I am hungry, when I am lonely, when I am being badgered, as the tempter does, I tend to get irritable more quickly. Maybe you're that way too. And so this is where we find Jesus. It's a worse predicament that a candy bar cannot Saul. I lose sight of who I am in these moments. So let's see if Jesus does too. But let's back up even further and see if there's someone who matches us. Adam and Eve may find themselves in our position. The food's good in the garden, but there's one tree that might have even better food. They don't know. And so they try it at the badgering of the serpent. Eve sees the fruit. She wants the fruit. She can smell it. She hears the serpent telling her it's going to be good. And so she reaches out and touches it and tastes it. All of her senses fulfilled now. The serpent has given her rationale for why she should eat it. And so she passes that rationale along to Adam, and he too quickly goes for the short-term gain instead of the long-term gain. Obedience and relationship with God. Adam and Eve begin to learn very quickly after eating this fruit just what they have gained in the short term and just what they have lost by giving into temptation. They end up losing the garden. Their gains may have been a wonderful bite or two or three of fruit, but they also gained hard labor, difficult living. God goes looking for Adam and Eve at the time of their daily walk. Adam and Eve know that they lost sight of what God told them when they gave in to temptation. They believed the serpent who planted the seed of doubt that God's provision might not be enough. They doubted that God had given them sound advice, and they decided to take matters into their own hands in case they knew better. Adam and Eve began to wonder if God was enough, if God could be enough, if God had given them enough in the garden, if God had created enough. And maybe we too begin to question if God is enough for us as well. Sometimes we want to answer that question, no. Sometimes we want to take matters into our own hands, just as Adam and Eve did. But isn't that the very moment that we begin to make a bigger mess of things, of ourselves, of our lives? When we think we need to force things to happen, when we think we have to muscle our way to get to the next step that we've determined, it's when we start stepping on others to try to get to the door first. We give in to the temptation. And yet, when we see Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus refuses to take matters into his own hands. Jesus doesn't need to turn the rock into bread. He has been sustained by God for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. What is a couple more minutes? God will provide. Jesus doesn't need the adrenaline jolt or the opportunity to test God by launching himself off the top of the temple. He already knows that God cares for him and cares about him. Jesus doesn't need to bow down to the tempter and worship him, because Jesus knows that one day all the kingdoms of the world will bow down to him. The tempter's temptations ring hollow, return shallow with Jesus, who knows who he is. He hasn't lost sight in the midst of temptation, in the midst of distress. The tempter wants Jesus to have to prove who he is, to prove that he is God's beloved son, to earn it, to deserve the honor of the title. The tempter says, use your power, show me, do it now. I'm not convinced that you are God's beloved. Yet, siblings of God's holy family, we are God's beloved. We aren't required to prove it, to know and believe that we have God's love and acceptance. Don't let the tempter tell you otherwise. Like Adam and Eve, we sometimes discount our long-term relationship with God for short-term worldly gains. We begin to believe it when the tempter tells us that we must be something that we are not, or that we must prove who we are as God's beloved. And when we begin to give into that, when we think that we have to do it ourselves, we find ourselves in the ultimate wilderness, thinking that we have to determine who we are, forgetting that we are God's beloved, forgetting that we are loved unconditionally, that we are provided for, that we are enough, and that God certainly is enough. This is hard work, letting go of the temptation and embracing who we already are. And yet it is the good and faithful work that we are called to in this Lenten season. It's not easy work. It's a struggle not to get dragged into the tempter's snare. But let us believe God when God speaks over each and every one of us. You are my beloved. With you, I am well pleased. And may we remember that God, by grace alone, makes us worthy. Not by our muscle, not by our merit, but by grace alone. And that our faithful response to God's grace is yes and thank you. Amen.